Hello and welcome to Unlicensed Therapy, the variety comedy show podcast. My name is Peter.
And I'm Andreas.
And today we want to welcome our special guest, Thomas. He is my twin brother. I talked about him on the show last week and I think a little bit the week before. You want to say hi, Thomas?
Hello. This is exciting because not only am I a really cool guest, I also happen to be your first guest. So, yep, that's me. Hey, everybody.
That's true. I'm actually so excited that we're going to have Thomas on the show. And I anticipate Thomas being a fairly recurring guest as we continue the podcast.
Yeah, I think so. We are your three auspicious and avaricious hosts of Unlicensed Therapy today, the show where we have no reason to be giving anyone advice, but you're listening to us do that anyway to each other and our listeners. How was your day, Andreas?
It was pretty good. I have to say, you're getting very creative with the adverbs. Adjectives? Adjectives.
I gotta say, I'm just excited that you're putting that literature degree to good use.
I am. I really want to make people have to pause the show to look up what I say starting this week and going forward.
That's fantastic. Well, my week's been pretty good. Not a whole lot to report to the fans of the pod. I do want to do a quick housekeeping thing. So as we mentioned last time, we've had multiple requests to do a weekly episode. We're trying to figure out how to make that work logistically and otherwise, but I think what we finally decided on is doing 3 weeks on, 1 week off. So the podcast will come out 3 Fridays in a row. There will be a break, probably like the first-ish week of the month, and then rinse and repeat. So
yeah, and that will be starting after the release of this episode, which will be April 16th. After that, we will take the first week of each month off, but then the following three will have episodes.
Yeah.
So that means April 16th, and then following that, April, 23rd, will have an episode.
Sure, I'll believe you.
Something like that.
Yes, you're right, the 23rd. So the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th, and then we'll take the 7th off.
Bingo. Andreas, I kind of mentioned this to you before we started recording, but I am mad. I am pissed, and I'm ready to cut a bitch because I got off work today. I had a really good day at work. And then I went to the grocery store because I really needed milk, orange juice, and contact solution.
My three favorite beverages.
Yeah.
All three of them named in one cart. That's incredible.
Fresh squeezed orange juice, like milk, and saline.
It actually makes a really good cocktail.
It does.
Which we will be covering on Thomas's cocktail minute, which is where I tell you how to make a cocktail in a minute this episode.
Wow.
Coming up.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that later.
Wait, I do have a question.
Yeah.
Do you drink, what's the pulp situation with your orange juice?
Some pulp.
Okay. More importantly, what's the pulp situation with your contact solution?
No pulp.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be awful.
Yeah. But yeah, so I just ran out of contact solution last night, so I had to sleep with my contacts in, and that was terrible trying to wake up this morning. Anyway, that's besides the point. I've been having a really good week, right? Mm. So I thought I would treat myself. So I got myself a little bit of extra snackies, a little bit extra drinkies, got myself a Dr. Pepper. So I got home at 6:50 p.m. and I'm trying to grab all my groceries out of the back seat. It's like four bags plus the box of Dr. Pepper. And then so I like elbow my car door shut, and in that motion, the entire box of Dr. Pepper tears open and just cans of Dr. Pepper fall out. They probably drop, I don't know, 3 feet onto asphalt. And like three of them exploded, and there's Dr. Pepper just coating the bottom of my car now.
Oh.
And the surviving cans are now in a plastic bag in my fridge, just bent to hell because they all almost exploded.
You have a plastic bag, a loose bag of cans of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, because the bag was, or the box was ruined in the disaster. And so
in the worst thing to happen.
Right. And I was like, I was so mad because like the first thing I did when I got inside was message Andreas because I was already running a little late for the recording. And then I realized that it was pushed back anyway. So I was a little thankful, but I was like, I'm so pissed about this.
Did anyone see?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I hope someone did. Because that means on some rival podcast that we'll never listen to, someone's talking about the idiot who dropped Dr. Pepper in a parking lot.
That's actually one of the best parts about having a security camera is I get to watch all the neighbors' Dr. Pepper incidents.
Yeah.
Nothing goes unseen.
God, I really want that to be a thing. I want one of my near, like, one of my neighbors that lives close enough to be able to see that to also have, like, host a podcast.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever listen to it, but I think that would just be, like, what's the coincidence that the 20 people that live within a block of me, like, yeah. I don't know.
I'm just going to go find your neighbor's podcast and tell him you said you're never going to listen to it.
I won't. I will stick to that.
They're going to kick your ass, Peter.
Probably. But going off of that, have you guys ever just like been really sad and dropped your groceries and then even after a good day, like you dropped, it doesn't even have to be groceries. If you ever dropped something that you like just got and it ruined your good day.
Look, I don't know if I can remember a time that I did, but my crippling empathy. I've seen people like drop an entire cone of ice cream on the ground. And that shit's enough for me to not have to drop it myself, because that hurts somewhere deeper, somewhere even worse is watching someone have a treat, a good tasty piece of food. And they're like, oh, you could like imagine how excited this human is to have this primal desire. And then they drop it on the unforgiving earth, giving way to gravity. And you're like, okay. In that moment, you're like, what do I do? I feel like, yeah, that's worse. That's worse to me.
Well, right, because that's one of those situations where you can't, like, go over. Like, it's not like a box of something, you know. You can't go over and help them pick it up. Like, once you drop an ice cream cone, it's done. You just lost that.
I actually had a similar situation happen to me pretty recently where Taylor and I we haven't done it in a while, but we had a sort of a Sunday morning routine where we would get a coffee and get a breakfast burrito. And so we went out, we waited in the really long Sunday morning coffee line. I got my coffee, but it's usually too hot to drink like right away, and I try not to drink it in my car. So I had like a couple sips, maybe. We got the burrito. We're usually out for about 30 to 45 minutes. It takes some time. And I get all the way home, and I set my coffee on the coffee table, and then my dog like wanted to play or whatever, so I grabbed his toy, and I threw it across the room, and as I turned around, I elbowed the mostly full coffee off the coffee table.
Dang.
The best.
That's,
see, in that moment, it breaks me. It hurts my heart in a way I can't describe. Like, because, you know, even in that situation, if, say, I got my ice cream and I walk away from ice cream establishment and I drop it like 20 feet away. And then in that moment, if I see my friend drop their ice cream, my first instinct is like, oh my God, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. I will buy you a new ice cream. But the shame and the pain's already happened.
Yeah.
Like buying a new ice cream simply doesn't fix that problem, because now you have a hole in your heart where the previous ice cream used to be, because now you have to go back in the line and get a new ice cream that your friend pays for. And most of the time, correct me if I'm wrong, you just will be like, it's fine. I won't get another one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, it's okay. I was 3 bites into this ice cream. I had enough. Oh. I probably don't need the sugar anyway. You know? Like, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You don't just simply get another ice cream. It doesn't fix the problem.
The other thing with dropping milky coffee all over my carpet is the overwhelming anxiety about smelling milk for the next 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like cleaning up milk is 40% cleaning up milk, 60% worrying about if I got all the milk.
Yeah, that's true. On a side note from your story, Thomas, I really Like, in addition to Soy Wolf branded soy sauce, another one of my business ventures in the future is going to be an ice cream store called Ice Cream Establishment. Could you imagine the sign for that? Ice Cream Establishment, established 2021.
Yep. Yeah, I was about to say, it's got to be like, you know, I wonder how many businesses realistically started in 2021. And, like, it'll be a weird badge of either honor or some kind of eclectic thing in the future. Yeah. That's like, yeah, this is a 2021 business, baby. Like, we've been through it all. Like, we're going to survive global warming.
Well, when we take unlicensed therapy to be an LLC, it'll be EST 2021. So we'll wear that badge of honor.
Yeah, the badge of honor of a business completely produced inside of isolated homes.
We're coming up on our version of the Roaring Twenties, where we've all been locked up for a year, nobody's seen anybody, and we're all about to be safe and getting ready to be able to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be crazy. It's going to be like the most wild summer we've ever experienced.
God, I hope so.
That's the hope. That's what we're... I've told both of you this. I will say it for the podcast the other day. I'm half vaccinated. I'm a half vaxxy.
We all are.
Congratulations, everybody. Yay. Everyone go get vaccinated. If you're not getting vaccinated, stop watching this show and go fuck yourself.
I'm going to bleep that for humor purposes.
Yeah. Can you actually bleep it after I've completed saying fuck? So it goes fuck, beep.
Go fuck beep yourself.
Yeah, you missed
it.
Just
be a late beep. So it's go fuck. Yeah, and then
you like missed most of the word. Anyway, whatever. So half vaxxed, whatever. Well, it's finally nice enough out. Also, the horrible irony of this whole pandemic is that the majority of it, I would say, in states like ours, happened at a time where you couldn't just eat outside all the mm-hmm. time. So now that things are opening up and people are getting vaccinated now, whatever. But I still sit outside, of course. I had the nicest time just sitting outside, drinking beer, eating pizza at a picnic table. It was like this moment of like, okay, if summer's going to be like this, then I'm all in. I'm dipping into savings. Like, I'm blowing the load
there you go.
On summer.
So, Andreas... That's my story of the week, is disasters of dropping items. What makes you mad?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this earlier when Thomas... So right before we started the podcast, Thomas mentioned, he's like, audio files don't take up a whole ton of storage. And you're like, yeah, it's only about a gig. And it reminds me of something that makes me angry probably about once every couple weeks, where I'm talking about storage, data storage, or thinking about it. And I remember, I have one very specific memory that when I started middle school, 7th grade, we were required on our school list, we were required to have a flash drive.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I remember going to Walmart with my own money. And my mom was like, you don't have to pay for it with your own money. I was like, no, I want to. And I bought an 8 gigabyte flash drive for $46.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
An 8 gig flash drive for 46.
Wait, what year was this?
This would have been 2008 or 2009.
I'm pretty sure like 8 gigabyte flash drives at this point are not only incredibly cheap, but I'm pretty sure they're like the kids' toys that they now give at dentist's appointments.
Right.
And like, they're the toys that they hand out with McDonald's Happy Meals. Like, that's how cheap they are. Well, that's where they,
right.
they've
well,
ended up.
Just for comparison, because I bought another hard drive the other day. Do you want to know what you can get for $40 today?
Yes.
A terabyte.
Yeah.
A 1 terabyte. I mean, it's an HDD.
Like a normal hard drive.
Yeah. But still...
Yeah, that's 125 8 gigabyte flash drives.
Yeah, I'm glad you just did the math on your phone. I saw that.
Well, I have a 500 gig solid state external guy, and I'm pretty sure that was well under, I think it was around 100 or under $100 mm-hmm. for solid state.
Yeah.
500 gigs.
Yeah. I mean, that just, so. That one that shows you how far we've come in only a decade as far as, you know, digital storage technology, because 8 gigs 12 years ago.
That was a lot of storage 12 years ago.
Yeah, it was. 8 gigs 12 years ago is equivalent in price to you know, 125
right
of those today.
You know, I mean, I granted at the time we were only like working with what, PowerPoint and Word files in school. Right. So it was like, what could you possibly even need all 8 gigs for?
Yeah, probably never filled
it's
an 8
called
gigabyte flash,
the right? boot file for Minecraft to run on the school computers, Thomas.
Yep. There you go.
And you know, there's some guy out there who is mad that he paid $46 for a 450 megabyte floppy disk at some point in his life. You know?
Yeah.
Like, data's crazy. It feels, looking back on it, it feels like a waste of money, where I'm just so upset that I paid $46 for 8 gigabytes, but that's just how it was.
I would say that file sizes are also, when it comes to like a layman, right? I mean, Grant, I don't know how much I can speak on this because my industry that I work in works in gigantic file sizes all the time. Like, but my last project that I worked on, I think, was 600 gigs total.
Yeah, that's crazy.
One animation. So I don't know how much I could speak on this. Like,
well, Andreas, I have one more question. Do you still have it?
No, I don't think so.
No, yeah, then it was a waste of money.
What am I going to use it for?
You could rubber band it together with other 8 gig hard drives that you have and get, like, I don't know, up to like 32.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, if you hot glue 4 of them together, yeah.
Yeah.
I could actually do the work of like pulling the motherboard out. Like, is that what it's even called on a flash drive? The little
chip. It's just a chip.
Just the chip. Pull the chip out and soldering them together and making more storage.
There you go. Just daisy chain USB storage.
It's got to be more complicated than that, right?
It probably is, but I'm not an electrician, so.
I don't think electricians.
Yeah, I was going to say this is more of a computer situation.
Whatever. Anyway, that's wonderful. I'm sorry that makes you mad, Andreas, but do you want to talk about scary and potentially mad Native American women staring at you through your window?
No, but we will. So Peter obviously is making a reference to last podcast where we talked about sleep paralysis. If you haven't heard that podcast, you should go listen to it because it's really, really good. But the whole reason, well, one of the reasons why we have Thomas on today is because last week we were talking about sleep paralysis. We were talking about how Thomas has experienced sleep paralysis before and how he should come on the podcast and talk about it. And he agreed.
Yeah.
Yep. So here I am.
So last week, I told a story about how I would have consistent recurring dreams of a Native American woman staring at me through my window. She was very old and creepy, and she just stares at me. And Peter asked if maybe that's like a version of sleep paralysis. And I said, well, maybe, but, you know, I'm not paralyzed. I can wake up from that. But I wanted to know what your experiences were.
Yeah. So from my experience, what you experienced is certainly not sleep paralysis. You had a dream of a scary Native American woman looking in your window, because I've actually done some research on sleep paralysis and what causes it. And I mean, what causes it is kind of up in the air a little bit. Sometimes it's exhaustion or stress. A bunch of other factors can kind of contribute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I actually forget. I did listen to the last podcast, but I forget how in-depth you went. Did you talk about what sleep paralysis is categorized as at all? Or do you want me to cover that real quick?
Go ahead and run it all down.
Yeah, go ahead and run it down, because we mentioned hag syndrome, and I'm not sure if that's the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's like slang.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so I'll give a quick rundown of just, I will get into it, and I'll tell you a very fun, scary story of sleep paralysis in a second, but I feel like the context is important. Like, what is sleep paralysis? Sleep paralysis is, we have multiple stages of sleep, right? I feel like people have heard of this before. There's like REM sleep. There's like a little sleepy, I'm tired, I'm not quite deep sleep before that. And then there's like effectively you're awake. I think, you know, you could get into the weeds. There's a bunch of different ones probably. But for our sake, we're looking at REM sleep and being awake. Sleep paralysis is REM sleep and being awake at the same time. So your brain doesn't know what to do. So when you go into REM sleep, this is like the most restful sleep you can have, because your body literally shuts off. Your brain will go into basically like sleep mode, computer wise, and your limbs stop functioning because you don't need them. You're sleeping. Like, why would you have any brain power to your limbs at this time?
Mm-hmm.
doesn't make any sense. And so everything basically goes on autopilot when you're in REM. You know, you're doing all the functions of your body that happen normally, like beating heart and you know, your brain is running dreams, whatever, all that stuff. But sleep paralysis is when your brain thinks it's going into REM sleep, but you are still conscious. So your bodily functions that you normally have agency over, you don't anymore, because your brain has told those to stop, and you have effectively no control over that when you are experiencing a bout of sleep paralysis. So in my case, I actually experienced sleep paralysis maybe, doesn't happen as much anymore, but it happens every once in a while. And it happens to me when I'm really tired and I'm about to fall asleep consistently. I'll be, especially with white noise. White noise is a big inducer of sleep paralysis for me. I'll be on a couch and I'll be watching YouTube or something with the intent of kind of falling asleep while watching, right? It's kind of like a thing I do a lot, because right, yeah. I like white noise. Let me back up a little bit. I will tell that in a second, but my first experience with sleep paralysis ever, I was in a room. I had already moved to Montana. It was the first house that I lived in up here. I had a super high ceiling. It was probably like 12 feet tall. Uh-huh. Big ceiling. In this pretty open room. And I woke up in the middle of the night. And I didn't realize I couldn't move. But I was kind of looking around my room. And I knew something was wrong. Everything was so real because it was. I was looking at my room. My eyes were taking in information and I was looking at everything. It was dark. But I felt presence in the room, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the feeling of standing behind you.
Yeah, you know, like somebody's watching you kind of feeling.
Yeah, so I knew something was in the room and that freaked me out. And I could see a shadow moving out of just my periphery, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like on edge and I was looking for the shadow and it like kind of was on the floor and then it went up into that ceiling, but I could never fully make out the figure. It was just this shadow. And eventually it came down up to the side of the bed. And I remember seeing it like start to rise up next to my bed. But the problem was I could not move. And that was when I realized. Jeez. I literally could not, because my reflex in that moment was bad dream or I got in my head. Like I just am going to turn towards the wall. And I'm like over 18. I'm like 19 or something at this time. So it's like I've had bad dreams before, whatever. But I'm not a kid. I'm just like, oh, this will go away. I will just turn towards the wall. It's just a weird night. But I couldn't. I could not turn because my body was completely paralyzed.
Oh, my gosh.
So like including your head, so you couldn't even like turn to like look at it?
No, can't. You can't move your head.
God, that's frustrating.
You can move your eyes a lot of the time, but not all the time either. I don't know.
Well, that would make sense with REM sleep because your eyes continue.
Yeah, your eyes move quite a bit. Yeah. So I tried to turn over and I couldn't. And that was one of the few moments in my life, because this is never my first reaction, but I tried to scream for help. Legitimately, I tried to yell because I didn't know what was happening. I was so scared. And I tried to yell, but I could not make sound and I could not move my mouth. And so I couldn't yell. And then in that moment, I finally like, you know, I was trying everything, like squeezing hands, but nothing was moving. Like your hands don't even work. And so I woke up is in quotes, by the way, because I was awake, but I snapped out of it and everything kind of cleared up. And I was like covered in sweat and just like sat straight up and just freaked out because of what just happened. And yeah. Horrible, terrifying. And it's happened a few times since. Never actually so dramatic, maybe, mm-hmm. or so much of a figure. But I have had bouts of sleep paralysis, which I'll explain to you what it feels like. I'll be laying on a couch. I'll be listening to something, right? And I can feel it start to happen. Like, I know when sleep paralysis is going to happen to me because my body feels heavy and I feel like I'm moving in slow motion. So if I feel it, it's hard to explain, but it's kind of like you feel almost kind of weightless in your head, like lightheaded maybe is a good way to describe it. Uh-huh. And then I'll try to move my fingers, but they move really slow and I can't put any strength into a fist. Like, I'm weak, you know? And so I'll try to do that to keep myself from going into sleep paralysis legitimately, because it's really scary, because you can't move, you know? You can't even, like, fidget.
Yeah.
And then if you try to move an arm, it's super weird, because it starts to, like, break down at your forearm, in my experience. So you can move above the elbow reasonably, but everything else is heavy. And your body is heavy when you can't move all your muscles.
Well, and yeah, so, I mean, you know, we used to wrestle and fight all the time.
Moving a human.
Yeah, moving a human is hard. I discovered that just being dead weight was the most inconvenient thing at times. So,
yeah.
Also, has anyone ever, like, in the middle of the night, you wake up and you've been laying on your arm wrong or something and your hand has fallen asleep?
Yes.
And it feels really weird to, like, be able to move it with the other hand, but it has no feeling. It's just kind of flopping around.
You, like,
around.
Lift it up with your other arm and swing it around to try and get the blood circulating, but it's just like a limp fucking noodle.
Yeah. So
very weird.
It's kind of like that, but you can still feel.
Right.
But yeah, so you kind of, like, lose motion, and it's super uncomfortable because of the loss of agency, because you're conscious the whole time. And that's happened to me a few times, and I'll leave it on one more note, because I actually had sleep paralysis, and this is why Peter was talking about it not too long ago, where sleep paralysis, the reason it's so scary is because REM sleep is where you have your deepest dreams. It's where your brain is making up reality for you, right? So it can feel, that's where the dreams that feel the most real happen.
Uh-huh.
It's where people lucid dream, and you could go into it, but your brain creates everything around you. Like, you're all just processing data, and your brain is making it something that's tangible, real, whatever. So your brain is incredibly powerful, and it's responsible for all your emotions. So everything that you could imagine being awake but happening in a dream is suddenly, like, overlaid, like a transparent layer over the top of actual reality. And in this moment, that means all brain function. And so my latest bout of more creepy sleep paralysis was auditory entirely. I had no visual hallucinations. I had auditory hallucinations.
Oh my gosh.
I hate that.
It sounded like something was rifling through trash in my room and throwing it at me. But I don't know how to explain it to you unless you've had it happen. And it's so, I feel like it's easy to think you can imagine it, but I mean, it is real. It is as real as you could possibly imagine, but it sounded like there was actually something in my room rifling through garbage and throwing it, like, next to me. Like, you have every piece of depth that you could have normally listening to something, every possible way that you could hear the incredible subtleties, because reality is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the normal room tone is there. The, like, my fan was on, so I could hear my fan. I could hear, like, the subtle things that are maybe happening outside, like the creaks and groans of the house, with this new dream layer laid over the top.
Gosh.
So, it's not, like, particularly scary, I guess, until you think something's actually there,
well,
you know?
Right, like, but you were paralyzed, right?
Yeah,
so couldn't see that part of the room.
And that's actually what I was able to calm myself down was when I realized I was paralyzed, which is weird now. But I realized I was hallucinating.
You can almost lucid dream your sleep paralysis at this point. Like, there comes a point. Well, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, there comes a point at which you realize you are in a, like, sleep paralysis situation. And that's when you can, like, physically snap yourself out of it.
See, it's
almost
interesting because I could start to snap myself out of it. So what my tactic usually is, like, squeeze the hands, mm-hmm. get my hands moving so I can remember that I can actually have agency. So I try my best to do that because any other large movements are almost impossible. Actually, they are impossible. But it's weird because it's not less scary, even if I can convince myself what's happening.
Yeah,
or
I would
try to tell
that.
Myself.
In the same way that when you're dreaming and everything seems so possible when you're having a dream and you don't question anything that happens in your dream when you're having it, and then you wake up and you're thinking about it. where I've had lots of moments where I'm having a dream like this would make a great story. And you think out the whole plot and everything is very coherent. And then you wake up and you're thinking about it and you're like, that was so dumb. I imagine it's the same situation where in that moment, even if you can think about it logically, it's going to be very scary because it's going to feel very real. And then when you think about it later, obviously it's going to seem illogical or silly or whatever. But
I think the hardest part is even when you're convincing yourself that this thing isn't real, there's still, I mean, what we're talking about here again is reality is literally being laid over the top with REM dreams, which are in all cases like reality in certain times. So you're now facing two realities, right? And so I can either convince myself that it's not happening and try to turn off my fight or flight, or like do the normal human thing, which is, holy shit, something could be in my room, even if I'm convincing myself it isn't. Do I take the chance? Right. Like, do I try to just stay asleep? No, of course not, because that's how real it is. You know, right. No amount of convincing can tell me that that sound isn't real, because to me, 100% real.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah. And I know there are some people that have way more vivid hallucinations. Mine have all been pretty non-direct, I guess. The sound was actually more direct than the shadow that I saw. Then the shadow was really scary, too. Like, that was cold sweat territory. But yeah, something about the sound, like, I don't know. It was, man, I don't know how to describe it. It was so real. It was so, so real.
The shadow is more in line with things that I've heard about sleep paralysis, or what they call hag syndrome, because a lot of times people feel like there's something sitting on them, or there's a figure on the end of their bed watching them, or hovering over them, holding them down, that kind of thing. That's why they would call it hag syndrome. But what's crazy to me is we know so little about dreaming. Like, we understand how REM works, how REM sleeping works, but we don't understand why the brain really dreams or comes up with these visions and the information and stuff. And just you talking about your experiences with sleep paralysis and having a firsthand account of that, like, it opens up this whole world about, that's just the surface of what we understand and what we know are those small experiences. And it's just crazy to me how much you're not in control of your thoughts and all of the processes that your brain goes through.
Yeah, that's wild.
Well, that's two dream casts.
Nice.
Nice. Sega. Thanks. That's two of those down.
Yeah, that's the whole reason we brought you on this episode, is to kind of capstone our last podcast. But moving forward, we kind of talked, we were playing, so this needs a little bit of setup. Andreas, Thomas, and myself have been really torturing ourselves lately, playing a little game called Risk of Rain 2. And we've just been hell-bent on trying to beat this goddamn game. And for whatever reason, we have just failed to do so over the last, like, 2 weeks. I don't even remember how it came up, but during one of these, I don't even know who asked it. I'm just going to ask the question. Thomas, what clothing item are you really into? Like, what clothing item do you have a lot of? Do you always spend money on that? Like, what clothing do you just want to eventually have a collection and be like, ah, yes, this is my blank collection?
Oh my God. I love clothes in the first place. I own far too many of them. I think, well, one, the thing that I think I spend the most money on probably is just t-shirts all the time. I just buy them a lot. I like them. Not like shitty graphic tees. I'm talking like annoying designery graphic tees or long sleeve shirts. I spend a lot on those. I don't consider them like pieces though. And that's where I'm going to get to next. Shoes, huge. I love shoes. I don't have enough money to justify buying a shit ton of shoes, but I already probably own more than your average bear. I own like 8 pairs of shoes, I think. All of varying colors and things.
Well, right. We should put a footnote on that. Thank you.
Good one, Peter.
You own 8 pairs of shoes that you wear regularly. I probably own 8 total pairs of shoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I only wear like 2 consistently.
That's a good point. I'm not talking about shoes that I have for utility purposes. So I have sneakers that I wear to work out, and I have like hiking shoes, like things like that.
Right, or boots, like a pair of snow boots or something.
Yeah, or flip-flops. I don't count those. I'm talking like shoes that I wear out on the daily.
Yep.
But what I want to have, and I love shoes and I will have more of them, but what I want the most of are watches, but like cool watches. I feel like there's too many shitty, dumb, boring metal watches out there. I love Swatch. Swatch is my go-to. Swatch has sexy watches. Recently, they're coming out with a bioplastic hybrid material. Bioceramic. That's what it's called.
What?
It's ceramic and bioplastic material together. It's really, really, really cool. Recently dropped, so I will be picking up one of those. Currently, I own 3 Swatches with the intent to own many more of them, because I also love to match my watches with what I'm wearing on any given day.
Right. And so, yeah. So you're a big shoe and timepiece guy.
Yes. I would actually say timepieces more so.
Yeah. So
going forward.
For comparison, I have 2 watches, sort of. I don't count my Apple Watch because it's more than just a watch. So I have 1 traditional watch. And then, like I said, I wear like 2 pairs of shoes. And that is either... I just got a new pair of Allbirds runners. Super fucking comfy, by the way.
Those things are great.
Super comfy.
Those are so good.
And then other than that, I wear my Birkenstocks. I have just recently started wearing more shoes because of my new job, where I have to wear like dressier shoes.
Dress shoes. Yeah.
But like, I don't count that because that those are work and no one outside of work will see them.
Well, here's another quick thing is I actually technically own like 6 traditional watches, but I only really wear 3 of them, and 3 of them are Swatches. The others are like a varying variety of whatever the hell they are. So that's my, Peter, what's your clothing item?
Real quick. Choice? So on the shoe topic, I feel like I relate the least to this because
you have 1 pair.
Well, I have
for everything.
Basically.
No, I just you have 1 pair for everything.
I have utility shoes and that's it. Yep. Like I don't have a ton of shoes that I wear for like style purposes.
But your utility shoes look good.
Yeah. So I have sneakers and then I have, I guess, like street shoes or whatever that I kind of wear with most of my everyday outfits. And I also
and if he's not wearing his sneakers or his day shoes, he's wearing his pair of Timberland boots.
Which I was going to say, I will always spend the money on boots. Like I've bought pairs of boots upwards of $300 because number one in the industry I'm in, I have to wear them every day. But I don't know. Like a good pair of boots is so good to me.
I can't wait for the day that you ironically get a pair of Pit Vipers because they're safety certified for something.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
And then you'll just be waltzing around in your jorts, your Timberlands with a pair of Pit Vipers. And I can imagine like a... a jean jacket, but the sleeves are like cut off. Just nice. Waltzing around the construction site.
What sort of like shitty vaporwave reality are you dreaming of?
Peter's living in this weird 80s cyberpunk. Yeah.
I am. Like specifically. I am, but it's like I'm half imagining like a character from Regular Show in the I think he's in one of the commercials for one of the food things. I think it's the Death by Meat sandwich. I forget what it's actually called. But he has like a mullet. He has like a jean vest, but it was clearly a shirt, but
the sleeves are just ripped off.
Cut off. He has like Pit Viper-esque sunglasses. He has boot. Yeah. That kind of ensemble. I really want that to
happen.
I'm going
to do it just for you. I'm going to get Pit Vipers.
Hell yeah.
Got the rest of it covered.
So Peter, let's hear your clothing.
Yeah, let's hear your clothing.
Yeah, my fashion item that I'm really into are sunglasses. I own probably 15 pairs of sunglasses now, and not even just like poopy garbage, got them at Walgreens for $5 sunglasses. I have 2 pairs of Ray-Bans. I have a pair of Oakleys. I don't know. I have a lot of I have like 5 or 6 pairs of sunglasses that are upwards of $200.
Yowza.
Yeah. And then I just have a lot.
How is it even possible that you're spending more money on sunglasses than I'm spending on shoes? Because the most I've spent on a pair of shoes, not even boots, I get why boots are expensive, But I've even bought shoes that are discontinued and I haven't spent over $200 on shoes.
I feel like you could spend a good chunk of money on shoes.
Well, no, you definitely could. And I thought I had until Peter told me that his sunglasses are upwards of $200. Yeah.
Sunglasses are... Yeah. Glasses in general are...
Ridiculously expensive.
Someone explained this to me once, that every pair of...
Yes.
Like... well-known glasses come from Italy.
Every pair of glasses that you have put on your face, if you've ever been to a chain glasses store, like Lens Crafters or, you know, something of that sort.
Yeah.
Every pair of glasses in that store, or Sunglass Hut, everything.
Yeah.
They all come from the same factory in Italy, Luxottica.
Huh.
They have essentially a monopoly on glasses, and that's whether you need them for to see, like prescription glasses or sunglasses, reading, you name it.
Yeah,
they all come from the same place, they're just labeled differently.
Yeah, I've heard that before. All the brands you can think of, Ray-Ban, Armani, whatever the other ones are, I don't know, but
Armani's from Italy.
Believe it or not, Thomas.
I don't think the brand is from Italy, but for sure the glasses come from Italy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm blind as a bat. I wear glasses usually. I mean, or contacts, whatever. But my pair of glasses, I really shelled out one time because I had just gotten like a bonus or a raise from work. And I got Prada frames.
Mm.
But I really wasn't going to when I first walked in that store. Because I was like, I'm just going to get, you know, whatever. But I tried them on just for shiggles. But they were the best glasses I ever put on my face. And I hated it. I was like, I cannot believe I'm about to shell out $450 just for frames. But they are so worth it. First of all, they are indestructible. I used to be really bad about glasses and like screwing them up. And I'm much more careful now. But even so, those things are amazing. They are flawlessly constructed. Second of all, they're comfy. Oftentimes I have a weirdly shaped head, I guess. And glasses don't always fit me the best. Those things are just a phenomenal fit. So like when it comes to things of comfort, I am willing to shell the money out because, I don't know, I like glasses.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not five or six pairs. I can justify it with prescription lenses. Like, I just bought a new pair of Ray-Bans, which I'm not wearing. But for my prescription, I was willing to spend the extra money on those because they have to last a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thinking back on it, I don't own five or six over $200 sunglasses. Yeah. I have four. Two Ray-Bans.
Over 200?
Yeah. Two Ray-Bans, one Armani. Yeah. Anyway, I love sunglasses. Andreas, what's your fashion item that you either collect, are willing to shell out on, or you would consider pieces? What would you say, Thomas?
Why is it wool socks?
With I know toe. This about it. Why is it wool toe socks?
It's actually the most toe silky socks. Underwear. They hand weave it from alpaca fur in Peru. No.
Okay.
Not really.
Side note, apart from sunglasses, it's definitely underwear for me. I've been a MeUndies subscriber for like 2 years now because they are so freaking comfortable and the patterns are really silly.
They don't even sponsor this podcast today.
They don't, but I would love it for them to, because my Stormtrooper disco boxer briefs are phenomenally comfy.
Look, see, I'm okay. Quick anecdote. I'm all about being a silly guy. I dress pretty loudly, but I just can't get past this fantasy of mine that one day when the pandemic's over, I'm gonna be out having a little party, and someone catches my eye and I catch theirs, and we go back to my place. And I whip off my pants and I got pterodactyls on my ass. And I'm just like, man, look, if they're cool, it won't matter. Or it might not even matter in the moment. But there's that little part of me that's just like, man, if the pterodactyls are what kills the mood, what am I going to do? Like, I'll kick them out, I guess.
Yeah.
But like,
I think just. Don't go for someone who's not into the pterodactyls, because who doesn't like pterodactyls?
Look, again, yeah, but like
look, I'm just saying, like, even for me, it would just be like, oh, if things are getting hot and heavy, the last thing I want is to whip my jeans off, and underneath are my glow-in-the-dark Ewok underwear from me. Like, because I wasn't expecting anything to happen. Like, you know, or it's the only underwear I have now that I've cycled out all my underwear that wasn't MeUndies.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that's my biggest fear. Notice how MeUndies is primarily advertised on podcasts where people are married. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Like, well, no, I was just going to say that, though. Like, Peter and I have long-term relationships. Like, for me, that doesn't come across as an issue because my girlfriend and I know each other so well. But I could see how this could be a problem for somebody.
Yeah.
And it's irrational, really, because that probably wouldn't even matter. It's like the last thing anyone's thinking about.
I can speak from experience. It doesn't, because I had MeUndies before I met Maddie and she thought they were awesome. So,
okay. So
back to you, Andres. What's your vice of clothing?
So first of all, I guess I should say, and my girlfriend can attest to this, that the thing I'm the most frugal about are clothes, in that I will wear clothing until they break down and decompose on my body. Like, a shirt has to be mostly dust back to its atoms before I get rid of it, right? So I have tons of shirts and stuff that I've just had forever that have holes in them and whatever. So I'm not like a big clothes spender guy. And I also just get, like, not bad clothes, but not like designer clothes or anything. Or I don't spend a lot of time shopping for clothes. That being said, lately I've been on a kick with my jeans, because I love jeans, where I will actually spend a good amount of money and time looking for, like, the right fit and the right pair of jeans, because again, this goes back to longevity, but I feel like a good pair of jeans should last for a really long time, and so you want to get the good ones.
There's a reason blue jeans are sponsored in every country song known to man.
I would also say that, like, pants are a good investment. I got some chinos from H&M that fit like a jeans.
Talk about like the situation with the ice cream where there's a hole in your heart, but when your favorite pair of clothes or jeans or whatever finally bites the dust, that's such a sad time.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Speaking of chinos, Thomas, when I visited Thomas not too long ago and we went clothes shopping because I needed clothes for my job, but I also not sponsored, but please sponsor me. Stitch Fix. I got a Stitch Fix with two pairs of chinos, and they are so freaking comfortable. I've never owned or worn a pair of chinos before, but god damn, they are awesome. Good.
And
I love
and
chinos.
When you use offer code Peter at checkout, no, just kidding.
Yeah. When you used offer code, what did the
offer code,
I need a license MeUndies, therapy. Oh,
you'll get 20%. Look, if you use offer code MeUndies, you'll get 20% off your first Stitch Fix order.
Yeah.
You won't. It'll tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah. We're not sponsored by anybody. Anyway, I'm looking at our questions, our problems for this week.
Yeah, we should probably get to those, because that's kind of a little bit of a cornerstone of your podcast.
It really is.
We're already 57
odd minutes in. I'm really upset,
yeah, something like that.
Looking back on this tweet, because I realized I misspelled therapy in the hashtag.
I misspell unlicensed 60% of the time.
It's a doozy.
The C and the S are just all over the place. Like, who knows where they go? I still don't.
Thanks, English. So I tweeted
out. I could
out,
spell unlicensed right now really fast with no mistakes.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Go. Now do it.
UNLICENSED.
Oh, you
unlicensed.
Did it.
Well done.
Yay.
Anyway, I'm going to try.
I was actually really worried.
Peter's tried to start this so many times, and I'm just like,
god damn it.
I like the bit now.
Yeah. No, it's a good bit.
I'm going to try and do this.
So I had Chipotle
more in
for
advance.
No, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to stab you in the eyes. I'm going to try and do this a little bit before we start recording the episode next time. Usually I try to tweet out maybe a full day, but this time I tweeted out like 5 minutes before we started recording. And then I'm going to try and make it a hashtag of hashtag I need unlicensed therapy, just so we can try and organize the tweets.
You know,
if
you
get
only
get
like 140 characters, right?
Yeah, but
you get like 260 characters on Twitter now.
180.
It's the future. No. I paid $46 for those 140 characters.
All right. It's 280. Anyway, so we only have one response. I think that's because I literally sent this tweet out before we started. But last week we asked for problems and situations that you needed help or advice resolving. And good old RoyBoy140 asks, what's your best advice for roommating with friends for the very first time? And I think this makes a very good question for us because we've all done this. Yeah. And we're actually not completely, like, we're not complete idiots about this situation. So, Andreas, why don't you lead the charge on this one?
Okay. Well, I don't feel qualified to lead the charge because you guys were roommates for like however many years, right?
All right. Thomas, you lead the charge then.
It'll be really fun at first, for sure. And it can continue to be fun if you follow these steps that I'm about to lay out for you. If you follow these steps, you can have a successful roommate experience with your friends. A big thing that I think is helpful is share your food. Unless it's something special that you want for yourself, then segment it, right? But a segmented fridge is only going to lead to a segmented friendship. So the more you like put your name, like, it, dude, if you got bananas, okay, like chances are a lot of the time you won't even be able to go through those bananas before you don't really want to eat them anymore. It, like shit like this, like there's, if you're an egg, if you're all egg people, like someone buys a carton of eggs, just get a bunch of eggs and charge people for it. Like, you know, and sure, sometimes you're not going to get as many eggs as the next person, but like being real stingy about that stuff is only going to lead to hangups, and it's always shitty. Like get one jar of peanut butter and make sure everyone's on the same page of whether you can stick your hand in it or not. Like, you know, as long as that's covered, but just like, share some of that stuff. Be like, onions are like less than a dollar. If someone needs an onion, just let them use the fucking onion. Like, they'll probably get you back next time. It's until someone starts abusing the shared resources situation that you need to be like, okay, bro, stop taking shit without giving back. Because in my house, for most of the time, we'll just buy ingredients for stuff when we need it. And it's kind of like a turn basis thing that's unspoken, and it seems to work out fairly well most of the time. And that's my quick, you'll be happier if you just share the wealth.
That's a good one.
Rather than try to hoard it.
What do you got, Peter?
Yeah. Being roommates with people is a collaborative effort. You know, you're a bunch of broke idiots trying to survive in a world that's far too expensive to survive alone in. So any way you can, you know, collaborate, whether that's sharing the food in your fridge, in the fridge, you know, make the kitchen a communal space. People love to cook together, to eat together. It's a great way to bond. But that's not to say you don't need, you know, your personal space either. You know, you need your time alone, whatever. But yeah, you know, like after living with Andreas for a while, and then you and the others, Thomas, I think my best piece of advice is just be like, we're human and shit happens unexpectedly all the time. So like, you got to help a brother out. You know, I've been in some real sticky spots that my roommates have gotten me out of many times because I fail to make good choices sometimes. But yeah, you know, like just, you know, be a friend first and a roommate second. You know,
yeah.
You might hear a lot that I can be roommates, but I don't have to be their friend. Like, sure, that's only going to end poorly. Be a friend first, be a roommate second. If somebody got screwed and like they broke their leg and they won't have enough money to pay rent, just cover their rent. If you like, obviously, if you can, right, just help them out because, you know, that'll only come back in dividends later on.
Yeah. I mean, just be like, be nice, man. Play Smash Bros. With your friends.
That's
yeah.
kind of what I was going to say. If you can find something with your roommates that you all enjoy doing together, I think that's important to the bonding situation. Where like when I was living with Peter, we would come home and maybe not necessarily like have plans to hang out or whatever, but make a point to play some Rocket League when we got home from work and just like chill out for a second, talk about our day, do whatever. And I think that helps you like live with this person consistently, is to be able to have bonding moments with them. Mm-hmm. I would also say there's going to be points of contention, and you,
oh yeah,
everybody
yeah.
knows that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's not a secret.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good point to address, is like, don't, like, you know, as much as you want to be a good roommate, a good friend, don't be afraid to set boundaries or like limitations or expectations.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that, and so I've lived with my significant other for like 7 years. So that's different in lots of ways from having roommates, but there, you also still have these points of contention. And it's important when something is bothering you to get it out in the open as quickly as you can before it develops into a festering problem. Because if you just let it go on and continue bothering you, and you build resentment and you start to hate the person for the thing that's bothering you, it's really going to blow up later. So if you are pissed off that they're stealing your food or they're staying up too late and being loud or whatever, address it in a peaceful way up front and make sure everybody knows about it. And communication, like, communication is the most important, in my opinion.
Yep. You know, hang. Don't isolate yourself either.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if it's, you know, don't just like sit in a little corner. Go play Smash Bros. Go make. I feel like the best way to solve also the food problem is just like make dinner together a lot.
Yeah.
That'll help you.
Yeah.
That'll help you quite a bit. Dude, roommates are great in my experience generally, especially like, I think in your case, you're moving in with friends. That's great. That's a good place to be.
It's just another, you know, it's just another family, you know? Make dinner, family dinner.
Some people say, like, they're like, oh, don't be roommates with your friends, it'll ruin your friendship. It's like, yeah, if you fucking suck at being a roommate and a friend at the same time,
don't be a bad
somehow
roommate.
Like, it's not gonna ruin your life or like your friendship. Like,
no, like, definitely agreed. If you treat it less like just living together because you have to, and treat it more like you're good friends and you want to be, you know, in the same space and stuff, I think that's good.
How family friendly is this podcast?
Enough, but not
enough.
Oh, dang it. Okay, well, get ready to cut this then.
I bet you're all wondering what Thomas just said. And
yeah.
If you're wondering so about explicit. The awkward cut there, someday when we have exclusive content.
When you're older.
You're going to have to subscribe to the Patreon for the X-rated outtakes.
That outtake is going to be behind a paywall, so you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, $5 on Patreon gets you like a sticker every month. $10 on Patreon gets you exclusive to the worst XXX content.
Yeah, we don't have a Patreon.
Thank you, everybody, so, so much for listening to our podcast. We've gotten such great responsiveness to the podcast so far. Seems like you guys really like it. If you have advice, feedback, criticisms, complaints, good stories, anything related to this podcast, please go to our social medias, which Peter's going to plug right now.
Yeah, you can follow and tweet us at us on Twitter. It's @unlicensedshow. And then on Instagram, we are @unlicensedtherapyshow. I'm sure we'll have more outlets by which you can contact us in the future, but for now, that's where you can find us. We'd really appreciate any kind of interaction you can give us, because we'd love to talk to you or whatever. But yeah, that about wraps up the show for this week. I want to throw a big shout out to Thomas. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, super fun.
Yes.
And thanks for sharing your experiences and letting the audience know a little bit about the sleep paralysis thing.
Yeah. And then one more additional shout out is thanks for listening, Mom. I love you.
I was actually going to say that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we cut the explicit content.
Yeah. She told me the other day that she listened to it and really liked it. So if you've listened all the way to this point, hi, Mom.
Yep. I hope your mom doesn't have $10 to spend on the paywall, because...
Oh, I think she could bribe us in other ways, meaning her cooking. Anyway, on that note, Thanks everybody who watched this week. Thomas, if you want to take us out with your 1 minute cocktail, now's the time.
Okay, this is a cocktail that's going to definitely take you more than a minute to make, but it's only going to take me a minute to tell you how to make it. Okay, first you're going to do, you're going to go to the store and you're going to pick up yourself a bottle, 750 milliliters of a neutral-ish gin. You're going to get blueberry black tea. You're going to steep the blueberry black tea in the 750 milliliters of gin. That's about maybe like 5 or 6 bags of tea. Let that sit for 2 hours. You now have blueberry infused gin. You're going to put that into a shaker. You're going to throw one or two parts, depending on your preference. Let's say 2 parts gin, 1 part simple syrup or 1 part honey syrup. Then you're going to put in 1 ounce of lemon juice. Shake that shit good. You're going to shake it up and then you're going to pour it into a glass and suddenly you've got a coral blue number 42. It's great. It's a delicious cocktail.
Amazing. And he did it in 50 seconds, folks. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Hell yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.